We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in this evening for the vacationing Ryan Recker. Ryan, enjoy your time off this week, buddy, and we'll be glad when you come back. You know, one of the things I always forget to do, people remind me that when I'm on, I do occasionally mention my law firm, Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young, but I rarely mention my email address. If you'd like to send me an email for any reason, I love getting emails. I do have a KMOX email address, but I just don't check it as regularly as I probably should. So if you want to send me an email that I can promise you that I'll get back to you on, my email address is the letter B Young, because it's, frankly, it's good to be young. B-Y-O-U-N-G at harrisdowell.com. HARRISDOWELL.com. Love to hear from you. Always love to hear from listeners, and I'm really glad that you're listening this evening. One of the things we've been talking about since the NFL game that ended earlier this evening, which I did mention, Patriots over the Jets, 172-0. One of the things that I wanted to talk about this evening was this rumor that's going around. Actually, producer Ben is the one that that hipped me to this. But will the Chargers come to St. Louis? And we're going to get into some of the weeds on that issue as the rest of the evening unfolds. But we talked with John Sloan earlier about his thoughts on whether St. Louis would welcome the Chargers or any other NFL team if it were offered. But I'd like to hear your thoughts. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Should the Chargers come to St. Louis? Would you go to the games if they did? Would they get a stadium financing deal, or would they have to pony up all the money themselves? What are your thoughts? 314-436-7900. You know, one of the things that I meant to mention it earlier, and again, there's just always lots of stuff in the stack of stuff that I don't get to, but I did mention that about an hour ago, I mentioned that President Trump decided rather abruptly to reverse his initial decision to host the G7 summit. He was going to host this next year and was going to have it at his Doral resort in Miami. And lots of folks squawked about that. So I don't know if you saw this. I just saw this out about a half an hour ago. President Trump actually tweeted out that the summit is going to be held not at his place now in Miami, but he's going to hold it at the Chuck E. Cheese in Tallahassee, Florida. So that's where he's going to have the G7. So we're going to have Angela Merkel. We're going to have Justin Trudeau. We're going to have all of these, the European leaders, even President Abe from Japan. They're all going to be like playing video games, drinking beer and eating pizza at Chuck E. Cheese. So and it's going to be in Tallahassee, which I don't know if Tallahassee can actually handle the G7 summit, but it'll be fun to see. And more importantly, I think the reason why President Trump chose the Chuck E. Cheese, frankly, is because he thinks Nancy Pelosi simply cannot condemn pizza, video games, and children all in the same soundbite. So we'll see if that works out for you. I mentioned leading up to the break that ESPN analyst Twelman, his name is Taylor Twelman. Now, try to say Taylor Twelman tweeted. That's your job for this evening. He tweeted out last week that the NFL had offered the Chargers the option of moving to St. Louis. And one of the things, as I've kind of researched this idea today, I found that Taylor Twelman isn't the only person to weigh in on this issue. He's not the only person for at ESPN that's kind of weighed in. On a slightly separate topic, Scott Van Pelt, who's also an analyst at ESPN, he had a piece that came out over the weekend talking about, can Los Angeles support two teams? I mean, we had the issue here of whether St. Louis could support one team. I think we did support them financially. Perhaps we did not support them emotionally, but we certainly did financially, no question. But now the question is, can Los Angeles support two NFL teams? And Scott Van Pelt had this to say.
Imagine spending $5 billion on anything. That's not something any of us will ever have to ponder, but imagine doing so, then realizing the football tenants, the main reason for getting the thing built, might not be worthy of the outlay. The Rams and Chargers both played in Los Angeles Sunday at home, in theory. They both lost. Neither game was close. Both were notable in that fans of the road teams took over the stadiums. San Francisco fans are known as the faithful, and they were very evident in the Coliseum, both in the red that filled the seats and in the cheers that filled the air. Their players and GM John Lynch took to social media to thank them for creating a home game far from their Northern California roots. It was even more noticeable for the Chargers because they play in a much more intimate venue, and it was almost entirely filled with Steeler fans in black waving terrible towels. So much so that at one point, the video board began playing Renegade by Styx, which is the unofficial anthem of the Steelers. Place goes bananas, only to get rickrolled with Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. Now, I get that in life, everything has become trying to get a social media win, but Chargers players were not happy. Melvin Gordon told the LA Times, quote, "It was crazy. Don't do that at our own stadium." In the same article, offensive lineman Forrest Lamp said, "We're used to not having any fans here. It does suck, though, when they're playing their music in the fourth quarter. We're the ones at home. I don't know who's in charge of that, but they should probably be fired. We're the ones at home." He's right. In theory, you'd have some support. But this story and this issue have been going on seemingly forever. Los Angeles went decades without an NFL team, and suddenly it's got two. And neither has much of a geographic claim to the fans there. Worse, they have even less emotional capital with people, which brings me back to the $5 billion stadium in Englewood. Who's it for? Understanding, of course, that Rams owner Stan Kroenke is developing this to be far more than just home to the Rams and the Chargers. It's going to host the Super Bowl and the College Football National Championship in its first couple years of existence, as well as the opening and closing of the Olympics in 2028. NBC had shots of it during the Chargers game, and it's going to be absolutely gorgeous, stunning architecturally. It'll hold over 70,000 football fans. Chargers currently have a venue that has exactly one-third of that capacity. And who's going to go to those Chargers games? What's the visual going to be? How does the NFL sell it or spin it? They got it worse than the Rams, but man, the Rams were in the Super Bowl last year. Look at the Coliseum. It's got to be half red. You know where the Niners head next? Washington. I know it's not 350 miles away like L.A., but you can go take that place over too if you want. As I made clear here last week, that bums me out. L.A. doesn't. It's simply an observation. Zero teams in Los Angeles, that wasn't enough. Two's clearly too many. There are NFL fans in Los Angeles, plenty of them. Most of them just root for other teams, and they're going to have a fancy new place to see them play.
So you heard Scott Van Pelt from ESPN break it down on the idea that two teams in Los Angeles is, frankly, too many. And a couple of the things, I took some notes during that bit by Scott Van Pelt, and a couple of things really jumped out at me. And here are some of them. First of all, when the Chargers play the Steelers, the entire stadium was almost entirely filled with Steeler fans. So, and that's at a home game for the Chargers in Los Angeles. Now, sure, they're playing at a soccer field that only holds 27,000, but they couldn't fill a 27,000-seat arena, and the fans that were there were primarily there for the opposing team. Apparently, that's really the standard now for Chargers games when they play at home. It's almost always more folks are there for the opposing team. One more quote from this before the break, and here's what Scott Van Pelt said. Who's going to go to those Charger games in a new building? What's the visual going to be? How does the NFL sell it or spin it? And they've got it worse than the Rams, but the Rams were in the Super Bowl last year, but if you look at the Coliseum, it was half red when the 49ers were playing. So he concludes, zero teams in Los Angeles wasn't enough. Two's clearly too many. And there are NFL fans in Los Angeles, plenty of them. Most of them just root for the other team. So that brings us back to the topic du jour this morning. Will the NFL send the Chargers to St. Louis? If they do, should they do it? And if they do, would you welcome them? 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. When we come back from this break, I'm going to break down the litigation that the Rams are involved with right now with the city of St. Louis, give you my take as an attorney. So don't go away on Overnight America on KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in for the vacationing Ryan Recker. We're breaking down football issues this evening. Do you want the NFL to come back to St. Louis? Do you think the NFL would even gamble on St. Louis again? 314-436-7900. Tom's got an interesting perspective on this.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, welcome to Camo X, sir.
I love to be here. You know, a bunch of years ago, my brothers and I came down to a Rams game in St. Louis, and it was really almost heartbreaking. The stadium wasn't 20% full. They were handing out flyers, begging people to stay for the game. And we bought tickets on the 40-yard line about 25 rows off the field and gave $15 a piece for them.
Now, year was that, Tom? When did that happen?
Oh, gosh. It's been quite a while ago. I don't remember. But the comment I really wanted to make more so than that is that, you know, St. Louis, stay with baseball. My God, you guys, it's just the Cardinals and the St. Louis, it's just a bond that'll never break. And you know, you got the hockey thing going on. First off, the city doesn't need football. And it's going to burden your taxpayers. But what I'm wondering about football is, you know, you're making comments about one team wasn't, or no teams wasn't enough for L.A., and two teams is too much. L.A. is one of the biggest cities in the country. They should be able to support three or four. But I think what's going on, honestly, with a lot of these teams like that, I think the fan base hasn't quite gotten over Colin Kaepernick yet.
In what way? Because people were so outraged at Colin Kaepernick's kind of in-your-face, against-America kind of a stance that turned people off from sports in general? Is that your point?
I think it turned them off from football. And I got to tell you something. I never served in the military. I've got the utmost respect for veterans. And I'm a diehard Broncos fan.
Okay, I'll pray for you.
They're taking a real killing this year, but I've watched a handful of games, but I haven't gone to a game in Denver since the kneel down because Denver had more players participate in that, and to me it was an insult to all of my friends who were veterans.
Sure.
But what worries me about sports in America is that I really don't think the NFL has bounced back from the whole kneel down thing. I really don't. And I think that what's going to hurt it even more, sports in general, is this crap going on with the NBA in China. And I think Americans are going to say, you know, we can spend our money other ways. Come back and be American.
Well, Tom, that's a great perspective. I'm going to weigh in on some of those after we take a few more of these callers. But thanks for calling in this evening.
Hey, you have a great night, and pray for the Broncos, really, man.
I'll add it to the list. Thank you, Tom.
Bye.
Hey, Craig, what's going on with you this evening?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling in on Camo X.
It's been so long. I've been waiting for this topic to come up for over 3 years.
Wow. I'm glad that we could meet and hopefully exceed your expectations.
I was hoping that the San Diego ownership would see the potential of walking in and putting on a bandage where one was ripped off. And though the ownership of the Chargers don't sound like they're really good friends with Kroenke anyhow and don't want to share a stadium with him, I thought it would have been a prime opportunity for them to come in and help the NFL save face here.
Well, Craig, you know what I get the idea here is, and you know, in eons past, in centuries past, there was something called arranged marriages. And, you know, those were situations where the parents would get together and they would say, okay, you, Mr. So-and-so, you're going to go with so-and-so's daughter and you're going to get married and it's going to bring peace to the land because, you know, this is from warring tribes, these are from warring districts, and this marriage is going to bring these areas together. But isn't that essentially what we've had going on right now at the LA Stadium? The NFL put Spanos and Kroenke together. They didn't necessarily want it, but they shoved them together, made an arranged marriage, and now we're shocked that they're talking to divorce lawyers.
I'm not shocked at it. I'm not shocked at it.
I was being facetious. I was actually being facetious.
Oh, no, you're right. So, sorry.
That's okay.
I don't think they're shocked at it, but I think the connections is a better connection. Georgia brought that team home. Our problem with the Rams started when she passed and he got complete ownership. I think Khan would have been a better owner for us. I think he had the right vision for St. Louis. We didn't luck out and end up with him. And I think there's a connection that, you know, we lost to Big Red and they left, but our Eric Coryell went to San Diego.
That's
Coryell
true.
Went to San Diego.
Yes, he
I think
did.
It would have been nice to bring that back home.
He took the offense that was designed in St. Louis and he took it to San Diego. Yep.
And I was a big Coryell fan. I liked the Chargers. I was a Fouts fan, even though I was a big Red fan. And I've been through this twice, and I don't think St. Louisans are against a football team coming back. I think they're against the wrong arrangement coming back.
Well, that's what I wanted to bring you back to, because you, when you called in, the first thing that you said, Craig, was that 3 years ago you had begged the Chargers to come to St. Louis. But my question is,
I'm on social media
sure,
a lot.
And
on their website soon.
I understand, but what I want to get your perspective on is, do you think St. Louisans would want the Chargers to come here?
I think that St. Louis wants football. I believe St. Louis has a fear of taking football back, but I think it's been a football town. This is going to be a harder sell now that we're getting soccer, that they got all the support behind a soccer team, which is, I think is going to be great for this city.
Yes, it will. We share that opinion.
Because of the ownership that's involved. And I think that's always been our problem. We've ended up with intermediate bad ownership. Bidwell did not want to be here. I get it. They wanted a bigger facility. Bush Stadium couldn't give him what he wanted. The city wasn't going to give him what he wanted, and he bailed. Georgia brought him back and made this an exciting place to
yep.
be. And, hey, we were blessed. We got a Super Bowl really quick.
We were, Craig. Hey, I'm going to have to wrap this up, but I appreciate you calling in this evening on Camo X. When we come back, we're going to take a break here, and I'd still like to hear some more of your thoughts. I've got some analysis of the lawsuit to go through. I've got some ideas that if I were asked, if the NFL came to me and said, Brad Young, under what conditions can we bring the NFL back to St. Louis? I've got a list of about 10 demands that I would place on the NFL before I would let NFL come back to St. Louis. What demands would you place? What conditions would you place on the NFL before you would say, we're going to let you back into the city limits of the city or county of St. Louis? 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Brad Young sitting in on Overnight America on Camo X. Welcome back to Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker. We're talking football. We're talking football tonight, and I'm really glad that you're with us this evening on Camo X. One of the things about football we've been talking about is whether the NFL could, should, or ever would send the Chargers or any other team to St. Louis. We've had a lot of phone calls on that this evening. What are your thoughts? 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Bernie Miklas has some great ideas in terms of what would have to happen. What would have to happen from the St. Louis perspective? Now, this is not legally, that's not ethically, but it's really morally. What would we expect as St. Louisans if the NFL wanted to send the Chargers back to St. Louis? And here are some things that Bernie broke down, and I'm kind of mixing it with my own thoughts, but some of this came from a Bernie Miklas article recently. But here are essentially 10 ransom demands, if you will. If you want to bring the NFL back to St. Louis, this is what St. Louisans would expect if you want to do that. First of all, the NFL and its owners, which would include Spanos and Stan Kroenke, would agree to fund the entire cost of a new stadium. Every penny, no exceptions. Because right now, we saw with the stadium that's going in Los Angeles, it was projected initially to cost $2.5 billion. It was going to be a palace. But once they got started, the final cost now is $5 billion. That's billion with a B, to build a building to play football in. $5 billion. And I looked it up. I looked up the gross domestic product of all nations on planet Earth. And at $5 billion, that exceeds the gross domestic product of the 35 poorest nations on the planet. So, in other words, just to have a big barn to throw a pigskin around, we're going to spend more money than the gross domestic product of the 35 smallest nations on the planet. How absurd can that be? $5 billion. So if we built a stadium here in St. Louis, no one's talking about $5 billion, but it would most likely cost $1 billion, apparently, for the real estate, for the development, for the building itself. Of course, some of that's going to get offset by naming rights and so forth. But the first term in our ransom demand for St. Louis to the NFL, if you're going to try to hold us hostage again, this is what we demand in advance. The NFL, including the owners, Spanos and Kroenke, fund the entire cost of the stadium. Secondly, the NFL and its owners agree to pay off the remaining debt on the Edward Jones Dome. Did you know right now that we still owe on financing millions of dollars on a dome built for a football team that's no longer here? I mean, that's like buying a car for your kid for college, but then your kid moves off and you got a car and you don't need it and it's sitting there. I mean, you buy something new, designated for a purpose, and then that purpose goes unfulfilled. You could pay to put a swimming pool in your backyard and then never fill it with water. I mean, that's, you can come up with a lot of metaphors or analogies, but the concept is still the same. We still owe money on this thing, and it's not being used. The other example that comes to mind is a lot of times people are upside down on their cars, meaning not that they're literally upside down, but that they owe more on the car than it's worth. And so if you owe $15,000 on a car that's worth $10,000 and you're in a car accident, even if you're insured, I'm sorry to bring the law into this, but even if you're insured, your insurance carrier is only going to pay off the fair market value of your car. So you could have your car paid off from the car accident, but it's only worth 10 grand. So you'd still owe $5,000 on a car that you no longer own. That's really the situation that we're in right now with the Edward Jones Dome. So ransom demand number two, NFL and its owners agree to pay off the remaining debt on the Edward Jones Dome. Ransom demand number three, the NFL and its owners agree to give St. Louis an additional $250 million to renovate the Edward Jones Dome. Why? Because the Jones Dome is being used right now. It's being used for lots of things. In particular, it's being used for conventions. But the problem is it's still structured as a football stadium. So the demand for an additional $250 million would be, because if we built a stadium, the Chargers or pick your name, the go, 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 you Purple Stallions, whatever that team might be, they would be playing football in what we're going to call, for purposes of this discussion, the Chargers Dome. But the Edward Jones Dome could still be used for conventions, for tractor pulls, for groups coming in from out of town. And so that needs to be reconfigured for a different purpose. So that extra $250 million would go towards that. Ransom demand number four. The NFL and its owners agree to pay back the money that we spent in good faith for planning the St. Louis Stadium project that the league walked away from. You remember, we spent a lot of money, millions of dollars in architectural fees, in legal fees, in promotional fees, in design and planning fees, because we were trying to keep the Rams in St. Louis, because the Rams, let's be honest, I'm not going to mince words here, they were lying to us when they said, we want to figure out a way to stay in St. Louis. You know, if you look at the lawsuit for the litigation that's going on, that was never the plan from the day that Stan Kroenke took over the team. The plan was to move it to Los Angeles. So when they were saying, we're going to work with you, St. Louis, that was a lie. Legal term for that is fraud. And that's what they were committing. And so at this point, when they were still saying, we want to stay here, we want to stay here, even though they were buying their bus tickets to Los Angeles, we spent millions of dollars in a vain effort to try to keep them here. So ransom demand number four, or actually number five, is that they have to, actually number four, they have to pay for our fees and costs when we tried to keep them right here in St. Louis. Ransom demand number five. The NFL and its owners have to fund the entire cost of a new team headquarters. Remember that practice facility? If you go out to Earth City right now, you can see it. The practice facility is still there. St. Louis spent $12.7 million to build a practice facility. I've actually been in there. It's an amazing facility. It looks great. It's high tech inside, indoors. It's an amazing facility. And we agree, folks, it's embarrassing. I negotiate for a living. That's what I do. I told my kids when they were younger, when they said, "Daddy, what do you do for a living?" I said, I go to work every day and I play Monopoly with other people's money. That's what I do. And my job on the defense side of litigation is to buy Park Place and Boardwalk for as cheap as I possibly can buy it. That's my job. I play Monopoly every day. And so whoever negotiated this contract with the Rams, Dick Gephardt, Tom Eagleton, whoever negotiated this contract agreed to sell the facility to the Rams in the event they ever leave for $1. For $1. And that was upheld last year in court. So the Rams still own that lovely facility out there that's valued at $12.7 million. They bought it for a buck. Yes, they bought it for the cost of a large drink at McDonald's, and they got the $12.7 million facility. So let's look at ransom demand number six. The NFL and the owners agree that a majority ownership share of the football franchise will be sold to St. Louis-based owners within 5 years. Now, folks, I'm under no illusion here. I don't really think that any of these settlement demands would actually be met. But these represent, I think, emotionally what we would want in St. Louis if we're going to bring NFL back to town. And a great idea is that the ownership share, a majority of the ownership share, would be owned by local St. Louis-based owners within 5 years of the arrival of the team. Why is that? Well, it's not hard to figure out. The idea that if you have a local-based ownership group, it's more likely that that team would stay in St. Louis rather than pack up in the dead of night and move out to Los Angeles or move out to Arizona like the previous two NFL teams did. And that's why I'm not a big soccer fan. I never have been. But the idea, the process of bringing Major League Soccer to St. Louis, to me was fascinating to watch. And the key, the hallmark, the pillar of that process for MLS was to have a locally owned ownership group. So we've got Jim Cavanaugh, we've got the Taylors, we've got other folks who are based right here in St. Louis who are going to own and operate and manage the MLS soccer team when it starts up in 2020. That's a fabulous element to the package because it ensures, at least to some degree, that they're not going to pack up and leave town in the dead of night. We're coming up on a break here, so when we come back, I'm going to give you my last few settlement demands, as it were, for bringing NFL back to St. Louis. What are your demands? What would you require? What would you want emotionally, legally, practically for the NFL to send a team back to St. Louis? I'd like to hear your thoughts. 314-436-7900 on Overnight America on KMOX. KMOX. Welcome back to KMOX. Brad Young sitting in Overnight America. And I want to give my email address again. If you want to shoot me an email at any time to talk about stuff that comes up during the show, I do check it on my phone and I'll certainly get back to you. I love feedback. And my email address is byoung@harrisdowell.com. harrisdowell.com. And before I get back to my list of settlement demands, one thing I wanted to mention, producer Ben last week is the one that kind of clued me in on this idea that the scuttlebutt is the Rams, or rather the Chargers, might actually be offered by the NFL a chance to move to St. Louis if they want to get out of their contract. So one of the things I did today is I did call a sports analyst in Denver. His name is Benjamin Albright. I talked to him for a little while, and he said that he has spoken directly to NFL executives on this issue. He said this conversation's been going ongoing for the past about 12 months. And he said that if the Chargers want to leave, the only two viable options from his perspective would be St. Louis and San Antonio. Those are the only two options. There's some other things being discussed about moving to going to London or having a team in Mexico City, but those are more long-term plans, 5, 10, 20 years down the road, not short-term plans. So from a short-term perspective, according to league executives who spoke to Benjamin Albright, the only two viable options would be St. Louis and San Antonio. So if you look at San Antonio for just a moment, there's an ownership group that's in Houston, which is only 3.5 hours away from San Antonio. So it seems that the ownership group in Houston probably wouldn't want another franchise so close because they've got the Dallas Cowboys that are about 4 hours to the north already. So if you look at a triangle, if you look up on a map or Google Maps, you're going to see in that southeast Texas corridor, you're going to have a triangle of Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio, if San Antonio would get teams such as the Chargers. And having three teams all within 3.5-4 hours distance for that area, that might be saturation. So that's why, at this point anyway, if the Chargers are going to be given an option to leave Los Angeles, St. Louis would be probably the most viable option for them. I don't question that. I just question whether St. Louis would welcome the NFL back to town. You know, it's kind of like I knew a friend of mine who got divorced from his wife, and not too long after they got divorced, the wife called him up and said, you know, hey, we need to get back together. And he said, not a chance. Are you kidding? We just got divorced. So the idea is that we kind of just got divorced from the NFL, only if to paraphrase the old adage, the NFL got the coal mine and, you know, St. Louis got the shaft. So from that perspective, that's why I'm looking and kind of putting together this list of settlement demands since I negotiate for a living. If I were negotiating the deal to bring the NFL back to St. Louis, this is what I would insist upon if I were representing the St. Louis region. And my settlement demand number 7 would be that the NFL agrees that the Chargers' name and colors would be retired. It'd be retired. Now, why is that? Here's the greatest example. That's what the Cleveland Browns did. You know, when the Cleveland Browns moved to Baltimore, they had to become the Baltimore Ravens because the NFL agreed that the name the Browns would stay with Cleveland. So at some point, when Cleveland got that expansion team, they could become the Browns again. So it wasn't as if the Rams were the LA Rams, then they were the St. Louis Rams, now they're LA Rams. The Cardinals were the Chicago Cardinals, then they were the St. Louis Cardinals, then they were the Phoenix or the Arizona Cardinals, rather. So one of the demands that I would insist upon is that the name Chargers would be retired and stored and kept with the city of San Diego. So if at some time in the future they get an expansion team, they don't get the shaft. They can get the Chargers back if the economic situation merits it over a period of time. Settlement demand number 8. Commissioner Goodell, you know, I think there's a picture. I was trying to see if I could get pictures of Roger Goodell to hang up in barns across rural southern Illinois and southern Missouri to keep the rats away. That's one option. But the Commissioner Goodell and the NFL owners would have to write a formal letter of apology. A formal letter of apology. That's what I would insist upon as my list of settlement demands to bring the NFL back to St. Louis. I'm Brad Young. Ryan Recker's been vacationing this week, and I think Hancock and Kelly will be back in tomorrow night, I believe. And so make sure you tune in for Hancock and Kelly. While Ryan Recker is getting his well-deserved vacation, I'm happy to sit in. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan on Overnight America on Camo X.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.